I'm Andrew East from Colchester Road, Heybridge.
And were you born in Maldon?
Yeah, yes, I was. I was born in St Peter's Hospital, mm-hmm. Maldon, in 1950.
And where did you live as a child?
Cherry Gardens.
Cherry Gardens, right. Mm-hmm. So you obviously went to school in Maldon.
Maldon Primary School.
And you walked from the age of five? To school?
Yes. Oh dear, I used to come home for lunch as well.
Did you?
Yeah.
And what was your route from Cherry Gardens to school?
Cherry Gardens was down onto the Spittle Road, down the Chases, Longfields, and into the school, which is Queen Street.
Yeah. And for people who don't know the Chases, it's like a footpath, isn't it?
Yes, a footpath which runs between the what was the grammar school, which is now the Plume School, and the White Horse car park.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And it carries on through?
Carries on through and crosses Once Road into Once Chase and comes out in Mill Road.
Yeah. Mm. A well-used path.
Well-used path. Mm. Well, I've used it for 70 years.
So tell me more about Cherry Gardens.
Well, it was a sort of a community-type area built in the 50s. We had a front green, which we played football on. Everybody knew each other, you see. My mother used to stand at the top of the Cherry Gardens, which would have been looking over Beeley and over the old railway line. She used to call us as children to come in for tea. Until one day the farmer come and knocked on our door and asked her to stop calling us. And she said, why? She said, because my cows come in for milking. Oh. They've adjusted their milking time to you calling the kids.
Really?
Yes, that's a true story.
Oh my goodness, me. You know, and, so she had to stop, did she?
She had to stop calling us.
So, in your youth, children had a lot of freedom, didn't they? Going out, exploring, etc.
We went out after breakfast, didn't come back until tea time.
Exactly.
We'd stick an apple in our pocket, or if not, we'd scrump one during the summer. Mm. You know, we'd take a baked potato, and we never used to take it. Someone on the allotments would give us a potato. Mm. We'd make a campfire, we'd bake our own potatoes, come back with a black ring round our mouths. Hello.
Yeah. And good days.
Yeah, good days. We was out all day, every day. You know.
I believe you said you went across to Beeley.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, Beeley and Beeley Abbey was where Mr. Foyle, the original Mr. Foyle, who started the bookshops in London. Mm. He used to chat to us as kids about fishing and stuff like that. And he told us stories about monks disappearing up the tunnel to Maldon.
Really? Tell me more.
Well, he used to say that there was a tunnel connected. Well, I should imagine it was only a story, but he used to say there was a tunnel connected between Beeley Abbey and the town clock, you know, the Moot Hall. And but one day they sent two monks up there, but they never appeared at the other end. And they sent a greyhound up there. And the greyhound never appeared at the other end. And they're said to be seen at midnight on the back lawn of the abbey. But gosh, how true is that? It's a good story.
It's a good story, especially for young lads.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, you see. Yeah.
But, so he chatted to you quite a bit,
didn't he? Oh, quite a bit. I remember when I met my wife. At that time, she was only be about 15 and a half. I was over 16. And I took her to Beeley Abbey. And the bloke who was sending us round was starting to get annoyed with me because I was answering his questions. Mm. Right? Mm. And he thought he'd got me right at the end. He said, why did you think Beeley Abbey was built here? And people used to say, well, because of the Blackwater River, trade and bringing food up. And just as he was about to tell us what it was, I said to him, well, if you pick up that block over there, I said, there's a freshwater stream what runs underneath. I said, across the road there's a freshwater pond.
And that's what
watercress.
Yeah. That's what the old Mr. Foyle told you.
Oh, yeah, he told us all these things. And he used to show, when we were kids, us his library. He had a fantastic library, which later, from I think when I was about 10, the school took us there, and I was able to tell them what I'd seen in the library. A Bible which was only an inch square, completely written by hand, you know, with all the graphics on the edges of the pages and everything, and stuff like that. You know.
You were quite honoured, weren't you, to be taken inside?
Well, we was local children.
Yes. Yeah.
And to be honest with you, we weren't children which did damage. We was interested, and people never minded us, you know, because we used to use the bottom of his field, you know, to play in the river, you see, and that's where he used to find us. It's not that we actually went into his garden. He said we could come into him, you know. But
he was quite a character.
He was quite a character, yes. Yeah. And he loved his house and he loved his garden. Because he was very old when we saw him. He must have been into his 80s, you see. I can't even remember what year he died, but I should imagine it would have been something like 1960, or even something like that. Because my elder brothers know a little bit more about him because they met him first.
Right.
You see? Yeah. But, yeah.
Well, that was he's a good person to meet, wasn't he? Fantastic.
And I apologise to anybody who might listen to this because they might not understand my accent.
Oh, it's a lovely accent.
I've got what I call is a Maldonite accent, which is a little bit of Suffolk in it, they say. You know, but there you go.
I like hearing accents.
Yeah.
So, Andrew, let's go back to Cherry Gardens, where you lived. I think you mentioned earlier that there was a clubhouse.
That's correct.
What was that?
The clubhouse was built by the people in Cherry Gardens. In actual fact, I think one of my bike frames was in the footings.
Oh,
you know, of the building. Yeah. It was a timber built property, right? And it stayed there until recent years, 5 years ago or something. They took it down.
And where was it? Can you describe exactly where?
Yeah, it was? Yeah, well, it was. Let me think. Well, Cherry Gardens run into St Giles, right? So it was the top end of St Giles, where new flats had been built, and it was opposite that, and then it went down to London Road. So it was between St Giles and London Road, and as you went down it was on your right hand side, and it was there for a good 60 years.
And you helped build it?
I didn't, my father did.
Right.
But I was only a tiny lad when I first went up. I don't think I was much older than about 7 or 8.
Yeah, yeah.
You see.
And so, it was used by the residents?
By the residents, and in latter years people used to hire it for various dances and for people's birthdays and wedding receptions and stuff like that, yes.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, because I lived just behind the water tower, which the water tower has been standing there for a lot of years.
Yes.
You see.
Do you know anything about that water tower?
Not a great deal. It was operational as a water tower, as I think it still is. You know, but it was there, I think, to help feed the houses of the old part of Cherry Gardens and Orchard Road, you see, because it put, you know.
Well, you can see it from a long way away, can't you? It really stands out.
If I go down to the promenade, right, which is on the Blackwater River, I can look up and see exactly where I was born, right, and everything by the water tower.
So we've just been mentioning the clubhouse, but I gather also another activity when you were younger was building a bonfire?
Yes, well, in the summer holidays was the start of building a bonfire. And we spent most of the summer holidays, right, collecting wood, rubbish, and building this bonfire, which became very big by November.
And where was the bonfire?
The bonfire was at the end of St Giles, right, Road, and it stood on the left-hand side, and it was near a place called the Bushy.
Right.
So it was a little bit of woodland that dropped down onto the railway line,
yeah.
You see. So we found plenty of old wood. We used to chop down bits as well. Mm. People used to turn up with their burnable rubbish. Mm. And it was, I would have said it was about 15 to 20 foot high, you know. And that burnt for, burnt for a whole week after Bumboff and I. And we used to have to wait a week before we could roast potatoes on it. That was how big it was.
And you did that every year?
We did that every single year.
Wow.
And it was part of our next to it, because it dropped off there before all the flats and all the new houses got built.
Mm.
We used to have a bike track as well.
Did you?
Yeah, we used to jump off. It was about, I don't know, 8 foot higher, and the jump down, and we had a dirt track.
Oof.
And we used to go around.
Did you
there.
Ever injure yourself?
Well, not that I can remember. You see, you don't remember. I can't remember rain when I was a kid, even.
No.
I only was talking to somebody a few months back. Mm. I can't remember the summer holidays ever having rain. But I dare say they did, but we never let it bother us.
No.
We just don't.
So when you had your dirt track and you're on your bikes,
yeah.
I think you said there was a connection with the carnival?
Yeah, one year, Angular Television filmed Malden Carnival, and the person giving out the prizes was Little John from Robin Hood. Right?
Yeah.
And I can't remember whether we came second or third, because we went in with our dirt track bikes, and we turned them in. My bike was turned into a reverse penny farthing, and we made pretend we had broken arms and broken legs, and we got a prize. For the Malden Carnival.
Oh, fantastic. Right.
I think it was about five of us all told.
Yeah.
You know.
And roughly how old were you? Can you remember?
I think I might have been between 8 and 10.
Right, quite young.
Yeah. So it was, been between when I was born and 1960.
Yeah, I was going to say late 50s.
Late 50s, yes.
Wow.
You see.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's unfortunate to, I know two of them for definitely have died, who was in there. You know.
So your bike group, you were part of the procession, were you?
Yeah, we was in the procession, yeah. The procession used to be huge in them days, you know. And we down on the promenade, we had a big bandstand in the middle of the green, which is gone now. You see, the bandstand is gone, and everybody used to collect. That's where the prize was given.
Mm.
And every single road in Malden had a trailer.
Really?
Yeah, every single road.
Wow.
They used to build them through the week beforehand.
Yeah.
It was pulled by lorries and tractors and all sorts, yeah. Mm. But
it was quite a thing, wasn't it, in those days?
Yeah, it was quite a thing, yeah.
It went on for a week, didn't it?
Well, it was always the first Saturday in August, and we had a carnival that week as well, down on the thingy.
Mm.
And one of my son, unfortunately, has passed away. He was born on the 5th of August on Carnival Day, 5:12 in the morning. So he was born on Carnival Day.
Yes.
Mm.
You mentioned the bandstand.
Yes.
And that leads me on to ask you about the band, a dance band.
Yeah, my father and his brothers had a Malden dance band, right? And that was done in the old-fashioned way. One of his brothers was a lead dancer. They used to play, and he used to pick someone out of the audience to dance to the music and to get the crowd going. And they played for years. And one of my uncles played at the old people's homes in his 80s.
Right.
He still played, you know, the organ. I've got one of those uncles still alive that lives in Chelmsford, who's 94.
Oh.
And he still plays the piano, organ, and my father played the mouth organ, the piano accordion, and the double bass.
Wow. And where did they have their band and the concerts? The dances?
Well, the Cups in Malden I used to play.
Oh, just down the road here?
Yeah, well, it used to be the Cups before they knocked it down.
Yes.
Yeah, they used to play in there regular in the Cups, you know, and they had relations to what used to come down from London to listen to them.
Mm.
But they did the same as most bands done in them days. They did wedding receptions and parties and stuff like that.
So they moved around from different venues. Were you ever involved, or were you just too young?
I was too young in them days, yeah. But I did become a drummer. And we had a band for about 4 years. Starting from when we was at school. Sonic Sounds, we was called.
And do you still play the drums?
No, I haven't played them for many years. You know, it's a noisy game to play in somebody's house.
True.
Especially if you've got a neighbour.
Right, Andrew, I'm going to take you back, if I may, with your walking to school. And you told me earlier about remembering the allotments up the road here in Longfields.
Well, we used to cross into, when I got a bit older and went to school on my own, I used to walk out the bottom of Cherry Gardens, across to Orchard Road, which then at the bottom of Orchard Road was an orchard, which led you through to Fanbridge Road. Then you crossed into the allotments, into Queen Street, and then into Malden Primary. And that was my route. And I used to come back for lunch as well.
So, after walking.
Yeah, so I think I was a mile from the school. So I still do at least 4 miles a day to this day.
So the allotments are now where the Plume playing field is.
And Prince's Road leads up to the Blackwater Doctors and the Longfield Doctors. And then into Chequers Lane, which leads us into the High Street.
That whole area is all allotments. It's a lot of allotments, isn't it?
Yes, because they had other allotments at the back of Cherry Gardens as well.
So quite a lot of changes.
A terrific amount of changes. You see, when you go into places like Acacia Drive, the road was there, but there was no houses there until 1960, when the first houses got built. And now they go out another mile, the new houses.
So what was there in Acacia Drive? Just
fields? Yeah. Fields. There was the front row of houses, which was on Spittle Road. And then it went, and you had houses on each side of the road, and that went down and joined Washington Road, and then there was houses each side of Washington Road, but the rest was all fields. So there was Acacia Drive, and then into Washington Road, which then joined Fanbridge Road, and then so all those children walked that way, but slightly different, you see.
Andrew, tell me about your escapades down on the promenade.
Well, during the summer holidays, if it wasn't over Bealey, we was down the promenade swimming. And they had two big long rafts, but fixed rafts in the water. And they was easily 200 yards or 150 yards apart. And we used to have races up and down. We used to play bulldog on them. So he was pushing everybody off to the last man standing, you know. And, they had girl changing rooms and boy changing rooms, and they had diving boards, and see, which are not there anymore. We had a high diving board, a centre diving board, and a springboard. So we had plenty. We used to go in the mud in the river and then wash off in the thing. They had punt boats, which we used to borrow. Get shouted at now and again by the fishermen.
So they were just on the side?
Just on the side beach. We used to paddle out, because they used to use it. Before I was born, they used to take them out to shoot. I think it was widgeon they was after. It was a bird what used to collect in large numbers in the early hours. But also they used to go out and get their fish traps. Because they used to get the flatfish. They used to catch in these little traps they used to put in the bottom.
And you remember the fish being sold?
Oh, yeah. They used to sell them on the front sometimes. They used to have them all fixed on a wire. You know, they used to push the wire through the gills and hang them up and You could go down there and buy them, you know.
Did the beach area, did it look quite different? Was it more stony?
It was sand on one side.
Sand, okay.
Right. If you come through the main gates, right, you met the first end was what we used to call the baby's end. It was shallow water with a little sandy area, which is still there to this day, the sandy area for the kids to play with. And then on this side of the actual park side, that was all a beach for the whole length of the lake. Mm. And then on the other side, it was concrete stand, you see. And they had, as I say, changing rooms and everything.
Yeah.
And now we've just got a pond. It's a shame, but they was having difficulty keeping it clean because unfortunately as years go by we get more stuff comes down the river.
Of course, yeah.
And it was filled by the river, you see. It was always topped up by the river on the tide, but you know, the last I remember they used to have to go around with a rowing boat and throw the chloride in off the back of the rowing boat to try and clean it.
And do you remember rowing boats being built?
We had rowing boats in one end of the lake as well, and we had paddle boats, you know, that type which you work with two handles, see. We had paddle boats and that down at one end. But we had the, I can remember it being Cook's Yard. Right, where they used to, build boats, but only small boats. And because they used to, as they do to this day, do work on the Thames barges.
Quite, you see. Yeah.
And of course, the one thing I never agree with is the river being called the Chalmer at one end. Because the Chalmer and the Blackwater meet in Beely, right? And they both come over the weir.
Yeah.
But that first section is called the Chalmer. And it's not called the Blackwater until you get to the Blackwater Creek.
Right.
You see, which comes round the back of the street in Heybridge.
Oh, okay.
You see. Mm. And then it enters the river, you see. And then it goes on further, drops into the canal and comes out in Heybridge Basin. Mm. You see,
yeah.
But I, as far as I'm concerned, it's the Blackwater from one end to the other.
Going back to fishing boats, did you ever go out on a fishing boat?
Yes, on Brian Wright.
Brian Wright, yeah.
Brian Wright was his name.
The Wright fishing family.
The Wright fishing family. He had the rights to the oyster beds, right? And he used to maintain the oyster beds, and I went out on his oyster boat on several occasions. You know, I used to like doing it when the tide was right at 4 a.m.
Where were the oyster beds?
Further up towards Stone.
Right, okay.
Yeah, you know, past Norvey Island. Right, and there was a place there he used to do a constant figure of 8 in his boat to dredge for oysters. And there is some more up near Goldhanger. But he never used to do that. Someone else used to do that. But
and once he got the oysters, did he sell them locally, or were they shipped off?
I think they were shipped off somewhere else because they have to go into. They have to be 24 hours into clean water, don't they?
Right.
They have to be filtered.
Mm-hmm.
They filter themselves before they can be sold on. Mm-hmm. You see, yeah.
Oh, that was an experience.
Yeah, it was an experience.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Were you ever tempted, did you ever want to work on the boats?
Not particularly, no. I had another friend called Paul Ruggles. Now, Ruggles was a garage along a causeway called Ruggles Garage.
Right.
And Paul Ruggles had a trawler. And I've been on that a couple of times as well. But I think he moved down to Cornwall in the end, you know. Because we all used to, when we got a bit older, we all used to drink in the King's Head in Maldon Street.
So can I ask you what you did, you know, once you left school?
When I left school, I became a fence erector.
Oh.
I was a fencer.
Yes.
And I did that for a number of years until I put 5 discs out.
Oof.
On my spine, And I then took a job at a school, Heybridge School. I was there until 1990.
Yes.
I did 20 years at the school.
Yeah, doing?
A caretaker.
Oh, right, and general maintenance.
Yeah, general maintenance.
Yeah, great.
And then I had to have an operation in 1990, which they, on my spine, which then they offered me my early retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time I was looking after my mum.
Mm.
So I took the early retirement. Mm. So
yeah. Oh well, good for you. Yeah. That's been really interesting. Thank you very much, Andrew.